Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cadle, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church, Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Paris, sitting high up here in the land of the sky. But Matt, we got to get to it real quick this week because people are talking. You've been posting about it on the internet. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody who listens to this follows your social media closely, and they want to know what you think. It's time for you to go on the record. The most pressing question in modern preaching, Matt, and an item that people come directly to this podcast to be more informed on. Where is Kate Middleton?
That's one thing I've not posted on.
Address Kate Middleton.
I don't know. I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I can't say.
Oh, you can't. You know, but you can't say. I don't know. I assume maybe she's watching. Maybe she's watching a movie because they're getting longer now. They're just longer and longer. So maybe she's just still stuck watching Dune, which is like 6 hours long. So could be.
Might be watching the Taylor Swift thing on Disney Plus,
which is also 3.5 hours long. We didn't get through the whole thing.
3.5 hours. How far in are you, man?
I think we got maybe 2 hours in. Maybe. And then I was like, guys, it's really late. You got to go to bed. We can finish it later.
Yeah, I can't. I can't imagine starting anything that lasts 3.5 hours.
It's really tough because I think we've talked about this before, but like it's oftentimes that I have maybe 1 hour window of time, maybe 30 minute window of time before I need to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'll go on the streaming and you got billions of options. We have more options for what to watch than we have ever had. But nobody is making like a good 30-minute episode. I mean, maybe like Abbott Elementary, but it's so rare. Like all the good stuff is like 57 minutes long. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I can't commit to 57. Can you just give me a small 20-minute chunk?
I need a half-hour show.
Yes.
For my modern life, Matt, modernity demands 30-minute shows. That was going to be the dream of streaming, Matt. We cut out the commercials. And they're only 20 however minutes, you know, the old 30-minute show. But
yeah, you're right. No, they're just getting longer and longer, an hour plus per episode. And then it's a 10-episode season. And I think I can't make that kind of commitment.
Like, no. What if it's not good?
What if it's not good? Or what if it is good and my spouse decides I can't do this anymore? Now I got to figure out when I'm going to watch the rest of it.
By yourself. Yeah. That's right? You need to have... dear listener, I would like to point to Matt's avoidance of the subject at hand here. He's not yet gone on the record publicly.
I have no idea where Kate Middleton is.
Though he lives in the city where her brother-in-law lives. I mean, I think he's technically up in like Malibu, Santa Barbara, but I'm sure you see him around. Matt, you need to have your own shows. You need to have shows that aren't for you and the spouse. Or your partner, mm-hmm. or the people you live with, so that you can watch them when that time comes. Because when that time comes, I mean, that's the worst feeling in the world, is being like, well, I can't, there's nothing I can watch because I'll get in trouble for watching it. And you can try. You can try, but you're not going to be able to pull it off.
I don't have enough of those moments to be able to be like, I can. I mean, I had that moment on Friday. I was like, well, what should I start? Should I start this Godzilla series? Called Legacy, and it's like 10 episodes and they're all an hour long. I mean, I like those Godzilla movies, but I don't know if I can commit to this much time. Then there's a new series on John Wilkes Booth called Manhunt, which I was like, okay, I can be into this. I did watch most of the first episode, but I just don't know if I'm going to get through the whole thing. It's a lot, you know?
It's a lot.
I don't know. It's just a tough dilemma. It's just tough. Shogun is supposed to be really good, but like, do I have time to commit to this? I don't know.
I think we're in a pretty dry. We've hit a pretty dry spell here with the TV shows. I don't know if it's writer's strike or what. Or I think it's a combination of writer's strike with the cutting of the free spending era coming to a close with the streamers. Yeah. I'm not loving TV right now, man. I watched Murders on a Boat. It was interesting and fine, and sometimes it was pretty.
Good. Yeah, we thought about it. Yeah.
I mean, it's got Mandy Patinkin. So
yeah,
what else do you want?
Yeah.
Pretty murders on the boat. The twist at the end, very clever. I didn't need that many hours of it, probably.
Right.
But
see, this is why I appreciate Abbott and what Quinta Brunson is trying to do. Cause that, mm-hmm. that is just the sweet spot for me is the 30-minute episode.
Yeah.
You know, like that's it. That's all I want. And I got one a week, so it's not enough. I also appreciate that Jon Stewart is in the Daily Show because that also is a manageable chunk to me. The little like 15-minute bit that he does. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is a manageable meal for me to consume before I go to bed.
I know we have a lot of executives at the big streamers who listen to the podcast every week. And this comment is directly for them. You're pushing me to YouTube. Okay. Because at 9:15, I'm flipping through and I look at, oh, I got like an hour on this or 9:30, mm-hmm. an hour. I'm like, I can't do that. And then I can't find a snackable size show. I'm like, well, I guess I'll go watch highlights from the Seth Meyers show.
Yep.
And it's good.
Yeah.
He packages them 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They're enjoyable. Yeah. I go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's the way that this all relates to preaching. Keep your sermon short. See, that's what people need.
Just I think that is the
manageable chunk. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good news, bad news. It needs to be incredibly well written and tight.
Yeah.
Bummer. I prefer for it to be not that well written, fairly loose, but short. As a preacher, at least.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Understandable. So, yeah, that's where we're at.
That's your weekly update on Where's Kate Middleton, the vinyl preacher.
Anything else? We got anything else to cover before we dive in? It's Holy Week, so.
It's Holy Week.
So I think I would love for us to cover Dune, but I'm assuming you have not seen it.
I've not seen Dune as it is in the theaters.
You don't have the practice that I do of, let's see, I can go to that. It's my day off during the week, and I'm going to go to the 10:15 a.m. showing so that I'm done in time to pick up the kids from school. And I'm there by myself in the theater.
Some of us, Matt, don't have a day off in the middle of the week.
I know you don't anymore, but I'm just saying. Just, mm-hmm. I did do it late at night once when the Batman came out. I was like, I went at like 9 o'clock by myself. Mm-hmm. It's great. But Dune, I think Dune is on Netflix or at least on HBO Max. You could watch it.
I mean, I've seen Dune 1.
So you've seen Dune 1. Yeah. There's some religion in there. There's religion.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll watch it. I mean, I'm just, I don't even know. I don't know where a movie theater is, Matt. Like, how do I?
You don't not know only do where I have to find out
where it is. There's not one in my neighborhood that I'm aware of. I assume I could Google it and find one.
I mean, I would think next to the vinyl record store, there's probably like a little indie. I might wait for it. I'm guessing next to the vinyl record store, there's an indie movie theater, but it probably only plays like really limited run indie movies in Sweden or something. Yeah.
Sweden. Yeah.
Well, too bad. We'll wait for it to come out in streaming and then we'll do a big Dune deep dive. It'll be great.
Did you, before we get that far, did you get the Dune popcorn?
I did not. I thought about it, but I was running late. And also I feel like I'd get in trouble if I brought that home.
It's interesting. They had it though, I guess, huh?
I didn't see it, but I assume I didn't go to an AMC, so they may not have. But here, you know, the funny thing about popcorn buckets. Let's discuss popcorn buckets. They don't even put the popcorn in the popcorn buckets anymore, Zach. They give you a paper popcorn bucket and then the popcorn bucket in a plastic bag so you can take it home. Which to me is this just for me to take home and then eat popcorn out of like at home? Like I don't. Like you could put it right in, but then it hasn't been cleaned, I guess. It's just take it out of the plastic and then pour your, but that's how it works. That's how it works at Disneyland. That's how it works at movie theaters now. Like if you want the special popcorn bucket, you get it in a plastic bag and then you get your popcorn paper bucket. Why? I don't understand. How is it a popcorn bucket if you didn't put any popcorn in it?
Wow, man.
It's just a gripe that I have. I don't know.
It's a worthwhile gripe, man. Does it cease to be a popcorn bucket if it never holds popcorn?
I don't know. I mean, I could take it home and put popcorn in it, but I haven't done that.
Until you do, it's just a bucket, mm-hmm. not a popcorn bucket.
Yeah. Well, now that we've covered all the important things. It's Holy Week, everybody. It's Holy Week.
Bow, 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 bow.
I'm feeling pretty good about Holy Week this year because I've been doing this job for 12 years now, and it's my 13th Holy Week. And, you know, I feel like I've got the checklist. I made a whole, like, spreadsheet of, like, what needs to be done and when. And I'm mm-hmm. checking it off. I'm making my way through.
Great.
I'm light years ahead of where I was even 6 years ago. Like, so we'll see. I'm going to tell you this now, and then something terrible is going to happen. Like, and I'm... Everything's
mm-hmm.
gonna go to shit.
Yeah.
But so far, I feel like I'm just working the plan. And you know what? It's fine. It's all gonna be fine.
What does Matt? I do full disclaimer here. I only had to do one like kind of real Holy Week by myself. Otherwise, I just hung out. What does Holy Week look like at St. Mark's in 2024?
Really? I already made the announcement in church today and went through the whole spiel and exhausted everyone. Now you're going to have me exhaust our listeners by going through.
I assume you're doing the vigil.
The whole list. We're going to do Palm Sunday. We're going to do a parade mm-hmm. outside. Palm Sunday. We're going to talk about today. I don't have a donkey, but we are going to go down to the neighbors.
Sunday for rental donkeys.
It's true. It's true. We're going to go down to the neighbors and we're going to knock on the door and ask if we can cut some of their palm branches down. Cause we live in a place where there are palm trees and, we'll say the Lord has need of it and we'll put up fresh palms. That'll be fun.
And we'll return them shortly, Matt. That's an important part of the scripture.
And return them shortly. I don't think it doesn't say that though. He's just going to,
the Lord needs it.
Oh, and send it back immediately. Yeah.
Send it back. Here. You better take him back, Matt.
Wow, I kind of want that part of the story. Well, yeah, we'll do the parade, then we're going to read the Passion, we'll do the Reader's Theater. Maundy Thursday, I put my spouse in charge of.
You forgot Holy Wednesday, Matt. You guys aren't doing a Holy Wednesday service.
We're going to do a Holy Wednesday grocery giveaway. So we always do groceries on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and that happens to fall on Holy Week this year. It's Spy Wednesday, you know, that's what they call Spy Wednesday. Yeah. So I didn't put that on the flyer though, because I thought people would be like, what? It seems like insider language. It seems really weird.
You think so?
And we'll do Monday, Thursday. We're going to do a dinner and foot washing. Not the Seder. I left that behind last year. But, you know, the truth is I still haven't found a good replacement for the Seder. We tried the agape thing last year. It didn't really work. I didn't think it worked mm-hmm. that well. So we're just going to do a potluck dinner and do a dinner church. We'll see how it goes. Good Friday, we're going to do prayer stations. Explore at your
still
own
waiting
pace.
On dinner church to take over the world.
It's not.
It was on the same track as the emerging church.
It's a niche market.
And then,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a niche market. Prayer stations on Good Friday. And we'll do a fish fry on Good Friday, so that'll be fun. And then the vigil.
There's a Easter hot vigil. New restaurant next time you're in town, Matt, called Good Hot Fish.
Yeah.
That is a fried fish restaurant run by this young black woman who was like a celebrity chef kind of person. So next time you're in town, we're going to Good Hot Fish. I haven't been yet because nobody else in my family eats those things.
Nobody likes fish?
My vegetarian spouse does not.
Who's
a real vegetarian?
I mean, sometimes sometimes fish is but no, just pure vegetarian.
Not for my roommates, and my child is currently very flirtatious with vegetarianism at the moment. So. There you go.
Gotcha. Yeah. Good. I look forward to Good Hot Fish. And we'll do the vigil. Tell the stories, light the fire, get in the pool, have our big inflatable pool. It's going to be great. We got two baptisms this year. I'm really proud that, you know, after this many years of encouraging baptisms at the vigil, that people are just like, yeah, when's the vigil again? I've got a baptism I'd like to do. I'm like, yes, we did it. It only took us 10 years, so we did it. We did it.
You're doing it.
And then Easter morning, which I used to always be crabby about because I was exhausted by Easter morning. Now I'm like, that's good. It'll be great. Easter morning. We'll talk about Easter next week.
Give it the old day, baby.
I guess. But yeah, that's what we got going.
Did pretty good. I'm kind of curious, Matt, how much church I'm going to do this Holy Week. Because I know a lot, right? And that's a lot. And you're paid to be there, I believe. Capacity.
Are you going to offer to do any public foot washing?
Yes, at my job. At my day job, I'm going to make it real weird.
Yeah.
We kind of stopped doing that by the end because I was like post-COVID because I was just kind of like, I think I've made my artistic point. I don't have as much bandwidth. Isn't that interesting? For art.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't want to be like depressed about it. It's like you sort of start out and you're like, yeah, let's all like try these experimental things and like sort of excited about it. And it's cool. Like I respect it. Yeah. I hope that our young pastors continue to do crazy things. But then, you know, after you've done a few years, you're like, I don't know. I mean, you start to evaluate, I guess. And if it doesn't seem like it really paid off as well, like whatever way that looks like for you, be like, I don't know. It's actually a lot of extra emotional labor on my part.
I've got like work to do today. Should I do that or should I just sit, spend half the day doing public art?
Yeah.
I've made different choices at different times in the past on that question.
Yeah. Jesus crucified at 33. So I just wonder if he'd made it to 43, would he still be doing these public displays of art like this parade through the streets? Or is this a thing you do at 33?
Oh, it's a 33 for sure. Which I remember that number sounding old and thinking I was old at 33, you know, or 32, 33.
Yeah.
Now I look at that number and I'm like, God, I was so, had so much life, hope. The future was all ahead of me back then, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. Well, here's Jesus. His future is all ahead of him. And let's see what he does at 33. Shall we read these texts?
I don't know. Do we want to read these texts, Matt? Because that's where we're at. It's Palm Sunday, Palm Passion Sunday, which is a combo Sunday in of itself. So you get two gospel readings because you have like your processional gospel where you've got your rented mule that you're walking around the neighborhood with. And then you get to the passion itself. Are you preaching? That's my other question for you, Matt. Question we debate every year. Are you preaching on Palm Sunday this year? Palm Passion Sunday. You're doing your Reader's Theater.
Yeah, we're going to do the Reader's Theater. What I usually do, faithful listeners will already know, is I do like a sermon before we do the passion reading, but it's like a shorter message, and there's good news in it, but it's the purpose of it is more to frame the thing that we're about to read. So it sort of acts as that hinge and transition between the palm and the passion, and helps to frame it for this year and whatever's going on this year in our community and, you know, whatever that looks like. But it's a pre-message rather than a after the gospel.
Yeah. So what should we do here, man? There's a lot of reading.
Well, it's always the tough part. I'll read the palms and then maybe we could read the last paragraph maybe.
Okay.
Of the passion. So here's the palms. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt who has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' Reasonable question. Just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What? This is like the prophecy stuff is really interesting to me. Like Jesus sort of has this like, gosh, like, does he have a third eye here where he's like, he's got this sort of, he can see the future. Does he know that there's going to be a cult? Or is it just like, does he just know there's probably going to be a cult somewhere? Just like, grab the first cult that you see? Like,
it's there were
like
around a lot more.
You know, like the scooters that are just lying around? Like, just take the first scooter. One. Yeah, like a live scooter. You'll see one, just pick it up. You know? Like, because otherwise, like, it's a weird... I just wonder what to do with all the prophecy stuff, right? Where, like, and that's just prophecy, like... I mean, it's... We like to say prophetic. No, it's really about social justice. But this is like actually like predicting the future in a like weirdly specific way.
Yeah.
And what do you do with that piece? So I don't know. I don't know if it's worth digging into for preaching, but maybe there's a way that it will tie into when we get to that passion story and how we want to think about that. That sort of thing.
I am intrigued. I noticed I brought it up earlier as a joke. The promise that they're going to bring the cult back is interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And if you're looking for like a preaching for crack, a door to open there, perhaps it's that there's an anticipated future here.
Yeah.
That like, yeah, it's future looking. If you're worried about it. Don't worry, I'm going to bring it back. Where they could have said, don't worry, you don't need to worry about the future. Because I feel like that happens in the Bible from time to time. Like, stop worrying about the future and worry about right now.
Yeah. No, that's really good. And both of those things are future oriented, right? So, yeah, you could take that piece and pull that thread a little bit. And I think imagining what those things might look like, some of those little whole gaps in the text, by turning that soil, you can sometimes find something interesting.
Well, Matt, it's year A, is that right? A for Mark?
B.
Mark A?
B. A is Matthew.
I get the M's confused. Mark. So you get Mark's passion here. And according to the lectionary makers, you can read as much and not quite as little as you might want, but you can read as much as you want for sure. It concludes, Matt. There's a lot of time going on, which is kind of interesting. You don't normally get like timestamps in gospel readings, but it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, the king of the Judeans. This might be an important year. To remember that it said Judeans, because it was talking about people from Judea and not all adherents to the Jewish faith. And when they crucified two bandits, one on his right, one on his left, those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross," using his words against him in the same way. The chief priests, along with the scribes, are also mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see and believe." A little John, voice there. "We may see and believe."
Mm-hmm.
There was, here's a bold move, Matt. I've never noticed this before. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Yeah. How do they have the energy to do that?
Seems like... You can, like, yeah, just stay in your lane, you know, like,
yeah,
wow, they got a lot of extra excess stuff going on there. And when it was noon, about 3 hours later, darkness came over the whole land, solar eclipse, until 3 p.m. This whole thing started 6 hours ago. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?" which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which this text does translate, which is interesting, right? Do you know this, Matt? I don't know this. Like, it's, oh, it's Aramaic. There you go. Got it. I clicked through. I found it on a hot link here. The Eloi Eloi is Aramaic, and then it translates it into Greek in the Greek New Testament. So yeah. Everybody relax. I got to figure it out. So it's Aramaic being translated into Greek. My God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of the bystanders they heard it, they said, listen, he's calling for Elijah. And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. And then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the temple, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him and saw that he was in this way, he breathed his last. He said, truly this man was God's son, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, man, ooh, what do you got?
Oh, wow. I love the clock piece that you mentioned, right? All the different times. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was noon at 3 o'clock. I think that's a really rich image to play with, like thinking about the ticking of the clock and the way it moves. That'd be a fun thing to dive into a little bit. Fun. I say fun in the midst of this passion story. But
nothing's as fun as
it'd be a rich thing to dive into. But I think that could bear some fruit as digging into the clock. And then yeah, what all these
it's
callbacks.
Tough for good news
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
It's just the passion. Mm-hmm. If your job as preacher is to find good news, not the easiest text.
Yeah. Yeah, not the easiest text, but I mean, maybe one of the most important, right? Like, here's our opportunity to dive into what the cross means for us. And that's a really important thing to unpack for folks because, you know, we have a lot of assumptions about what the cross means. And substitutionary atonement is still the dominant theory around the cross, right? And what it means. And maybe that's an opportunity to kind of unpack some different paths that we might take, some different framing that we might have for the cross. So give people a way to think about the cross in 2024 in your community. I think this is the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, it's probably not easy, but I think there's a way it gets to the heart of our faith, I think. So,
I mean, especially the limited opportunity for preaching to be heard on Passion Sunday.
Yeah. Which I think is why it's really helpful to do it before you read the Passion, because if you try to do it afterwards, like everybody's already wiped out. But I think you're going to have a better opportunity to be heard if you set it up.
It's a longer play, which is dangerous to do these days, because who's going to be there on this Sunday that's going to be there on Easter, you know? A lot of people, but, like, you know, it's a long play, and that has its own challenges. I like the ticking clock, Matt, and I feel like in our HBO dramatization of the Bible here, you've got this like ticking clock in the background, almost like 24 kind of thing. And then I think it ends, like it builds the tension, but then there's like, it's nothing happens at the end. Like the way the clock is building is that there's this big thing is going to happen. Right. Like, and that's the way the liturgy and the lessons line up, right? That you start with this royal thing and like, oh no, the way the story arc should go is, Jesus is on this royal pathway. Oh, there are challenges, setbacks, overcome to victory. And there's like a stopwatch on this thing. And yet that last beat doesn't happen this Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a way of undercutting, because that's all the problem with this too, with Passion stuff, is that we know what's coming next week. So it's like, Well, yeah. Oh, what a bummer. This is all sad. But Easter next week, we'll see you there. We got lilies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To help have people experience it without knowing the ending already, like to try to invite people into that space.
Yeah. 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 And as I think about that, that in-between space or that sort of cliff, my kids are really into cliffhangers right now. Oh, that's a cliffhanger. If this is a kind of cliffhanger ending, this, I mean, another piece is this breathed, he gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And then Mark almost underlines that when the centurion who stood facing him saw in this way that he breathed his last. They repeat that, this, he breathed his last. Mm-hmm. Truly this man was God's son. I wonder if there's a way to think about inhale and exhale. I don't know if waiting to exhale. I don't know. Maybe you can dig into that waiting to exhale, but that kind of inhale and exhale, and maybe there's a, we're almost holding our breath until Latin next week. I don't know. There's a way to think about breath too, I think, that might get us to that, this piece waiting for next week.
Well, Matt, as we hold our breath until next week, what are you going to be listening to?
Oh my gosh. Well, is she just going down that road with the donkey? How about we do some Old Town Road from Lil Nas X?
There you go.
I assume that's what Jesus was singing as he was making his way on the colt. And then Jesus is, of course, offering a different parade to the royal parade that would have been, he's offering an alternative. Jesus is the anti-hero in this scenario. So for in honor of Taylor Swift's release of the Eras Tour, which I watched more than half of on Friday, anti-hero.
So proud of you.
From Taylor Swift. So many costumes. So many costumes, Zach. And then gosh, we need a breath song. I don't know. You got a good breath song? How about Breath of Life from Florence and the Machine? I don't even know what it sounds like, but I'll put it on there. You go listen to it.
Oh, I can't wait. Hold my breath until I hear it. Matt, I mean, I think it just occurred to me. I think that's how you tie in the Kate Middleton-ness of it all, as you're considering the royals. You want a satisfactory answer. We want to know right now, what happened to Kate? But we don't know. Clock has not run out on Kate, but it keeps ticking. We don't know. So make all of your Kate Middleton references this week. This is the week for them, preacher. Mm-hmm. I promise it'll be fine. People definitely will appreciate that on Holy Week. But I got some royal songs. Of course, we're going to put Lord's Royals on there. We're going to put ABBA's Dancing Queen. Matt, I am getting excited. I've been listening. The songs have been coming out. Eurovision Spotify playlist is out there. And I've been listening to the podcast. Eurovision is devoutly apolitical. Or claims to be devoutly apolitical. And I think there might be some political stuff going on this year at European Vision Championship. And finally, a song new to me, Princess Diana is the name of the track by our friend Ice Spice featuring Nicki Minaj. It's a fine song. It's okay, but it's mostly interesting that it's called Princess Diana.
Wow. A royal playlist from you. Love it. Great. Fantastic.
Classic royals. Ice Spice. ABBA. And Lord.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, blessed Holy Week, dear listeners. And blessings on your preaching. It's been real.
Real. Vital.